Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Everyone, welcome back to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and the 2021 FA Cup winners. And of course, welcome back to our home, the Foss Arms, in the greatest city in the whole wide world. And good evening to Killer.
Good evening and welcome back, Tim and Norm.
And thank you, Killer, and to Norm indeed.
Indeed, welcome. I'm very pleased to be here. Nice to be back with you both.
And we're back with our long-time sponsors, Trump Wales IPA. After what's fair to say, Killer, it was a lengthy new sponsorship process this year, wasn't it?
Yes, there was a number of huge bidders, actually. Yeah. The procurement process was nothing short of fascinating. But I'm delighted to say, in the same way that Adidas signed a £900 million deal for Manchester United today, that Trump Wales IPA was somewhere in that ballpark, too.
somewhere in that, give or take, £900 million.
Yeah. I think they were very, very keen given the extra 8 league games this season.
Yeah, and I must say, on a serious note, the outstandingly huge number of listeners that we seem to have acquired over the past 6 months as our club slipped from being the best run club in the world to probably allegedly just about the worst.
When you said that, I thought you were going to say in the last 6 weeks where we've not been on air.
Well, yeah, and I'm also presuming that these guys have hung around. Is anyone out there?
Everybody's listening to old programs.
Come on, then. Right, Norm, on the basis that you are the man that to this day does not believe Leicester City have been in a relegation fight, how are you feeling about being in the Championship?
Sorry?
Well, you all of last season you said, oh, don't worry, we're not in a relegation fight.
Well, we're not in the Championship, are we? We're desperately, desperately battling for Champions League places like I predicted last year. Come on, I think we're probably going to finish fourth in the Premier League this season, if I'm honest. So, look, how am I feeling? I'll tell you how I'm feeling. I'm over it. It's football. I'm excited for the new season. We love our club. Can't wait to go and see them and support them. And of course, it's disappointing not to be in the Premier League. But you know, we've got to remember how many years we've had of this. We're just back to normal now. We've had a wonderful, wonderful period of time that who would ever have believed in our lifetimes that any of it could have happened. But it has. We were lucky enough to be there. But hey, it is what it is. But it's a new season and hopefully it'll be a good season.
I thought you'd have your Trump Wales half full as usual. We run a Leicester City podcast. We want to be in a good place. I don't feel like that, Killer. I'm still harbouring a real grudge that we got relegated. I've got to be honest. I wish I could say, look, got over it and on we go, as Norm's just said. I'm still feeling, can you believe that, you know, we built the most wonderful wedding cake in the world and then we've just smashed it to pieces and left nothing left except the bride and groom figurines, which is pretty much the training ground. We've got the best training ground in the world in the Championship, and I am still very, very annoyed. And I'm, you know, to the point I've just about got myself there for the Cov game, but I'm not wildly excited yet.
Yeah, you see, I am. I've got to say, flip side, I'm over it. To be honest, as far as I was concerned, when we drew that night at the Monday night against Everton, that was when I kind of realised that the deal was done, the Championship. And I've had that much time to look at it. But I've said all along, this being in the Championship isn't a disaster. The disaster will be if we don't immediately get out of it. I'm looking forward to the challenge. I'm looking forward to a number of things. Let's not forget Leicester City at the minute, 5-1 favourites to go up. So when we talk about going back to where we were, maybe there's an argument to say we're in a much better position than that. Like you say, we've got a top-notch training ground. We will talk, no doubt, during the course of the show that the squad's not in bad shape either. 5-1 favourites, bookmakers seldom get it wrong. So I suspect we're going to be there or thereabouts. And I just look at it in terms of a challenge, really. I do look at some of the fixtures. I mean, obviously, we don't have the glamour ties. But by the same token, Bournemouth, Burnley, Brentford, Fulham. Come on, seriously, if you turn around and said to me, honestly, who would I rather be playing on Sunday? Cov, Full House is going to be absolutely jumping, or Bournemouth, send back 2,000 away, tickets can't sell them. I know which one I'm going to pick. No, I'm up for this. I think it's going to be a great season and a great ride.
I'm sure over the next, inevitably, your ridiculous enthusiasm of you two will carry me along and get me out of this sooner or later.
Well, let's hope so. Otherwise, you can clear off as presenter.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's a bit unacceptable, really, on day one. But there we go. Well, you know, we've all been relegated to the Championship enough over our lifetimes. But just this time, there's something about the sheer waste that I'm struggling to get over. But I get over it, I will do sooner or later. Right, I'm going to put two sides of a coin to you. So, Norm, I'm going to give you one side of the coin. We've got an absolutely brilliant new manager, steeped in the ways of Pep Guardiola. We've got the best defence that has ever graced the Championship. We've already made some fantastic signings. New broom sweeps clean, get rid of that old culture. We're already the favourites for the Championship. We're going to finish top, aren't we?
Yes. What yes, we are.
You must have
the wrong bloke, haven't you? I did wonder which way round to do this, Killer, but I thought I was off on the right foot.
Tim, ask someone that's not going to predict us to win 46 games this season. No, look, I do genuinely think that we have kept enough of the team, and like with players like Justin coming back, that we've got that bit of extra quality. And I think the players that we've signed have been very, very good signings for the Championship. So I think that the fact that we're favourites is warranted. But so yeah, I am confident we're going to do exceedingly well. But the Championship is as we all know, it's probably the hardest division in the world to actually get out of. So I don't want to sit here and genuinely say that it's going to be a piece of cake, but I am expecting us to get off to a positive start. And I think actually it probably all hinges on that, because the way that we've developed a culture of losing, we need to develop that culture of winning very quickly. And I think if we can get a result against Coventry and then beat Burton in the cup, I think all of a sudden, you know, we're on a nice little roll, and I would expect that to sort of continue. I suspect one of the biggest problems we're going to have is we have lost probably our two most creative players, and as such, the teams, when they come to King Power, a lot of teams are going to be coming for a draw, and can we break them down? But I'm sure that we will, and I'm sure our lovely new signing, Mavididi, going to struggle with his name, will thoroughly enjoy ripping Championship defences apart.
Okay, so there's two sides of the coin. Killer, the favourites for the Championship have appointed a manager with absolutely no experience. In fact, the only experience he has got is 14 games in the Italian League, after which he was very quickly, summarily dismissed. We have, as Norm has already mentioned, lost our two most creative players. We've retained the bulk of those players that created a culture that got us into terrible, terrible trouble and eventually into relegation. The pre-season has been a diabolical shambles, and there's teams far more suited to the Championship than this ill-fitting bunch of crooks.
Yeah, that's one argument. Look, all I would say with regards to the appointment of the manager is, let's be honest, at the end of last season, we were all a little bit tentative. Thinking to ourselves, please, please don't go and appoint a turkey. Do not now end up putting us right from the off in a negative situation. The worst case scenario, I think, for all Leicester fans was that Smith got appointed. I think people would have dreaded that. Thereafter, there was a whole host of names being bandied around, Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, had us all running for cover. So, yes, we have picked up a manager with zero Premier League management experience, but he also comes in with this optimism. And the reason he comes in with his optimism, and let's be perfectly honest about it, there is no way on God's earth that you will share an office with Pep Guardiola for more than 5 minutes unless you know your stuff, that you are a workaholic, that you are a perfectionist, and that you can spot from about 4,000 miles a good footballer. So I think this guy comes with a pedigree that's allowed us as Leicester fans to be quietly confident. We look at the team. We're not talking about a team in the Premier League. You know, we talk about this 4-0 Liverpool friendly defeat until we're blue in the face. We still look at this Leicester City team. We've got a bagload of defenders, any four of which will do a job. We've got a midfield which has now been nicely added to with regards to your Winks. We've got, by the way, it's Wanya Marcel. That's how he pronounces it. And let's go for that, because that's obviously much, much easier than Maddy Vidiu. He looks like he's going to be somebody explosive. It sounds like there's another signing lined up. And as it stands up front, I don't know, obviously big question marks about who will Kelechi stay? Will he go? Is Vardy fit? What will Patson Daka do in the Championship? You've still got to take it, haven't you? You've still got to think to yourself, if Vardy gets a bit of a run, he's still going to cause havoc. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, Iheanacho is the one player now that I would resist any signing for. We won't get daft money for him. Somebody comes in with 15 million, just say thanks, but no thanks. 80 grand a week, that's all right, we'll pay. This guy can and will tear up the Championship. He is a good footballer. He's a bit of a flat-track bully. He likes playing teams slightly below his standard. And I am convinced he can bag us lots and lots of goals. Take issue with one thing, Tim. You said disastrous pre-season. Based on what? Didn't we have a very nice tidy game against Northampton Town? Didn't we?
Well, I mean, if you look on the Leicester City website, 3 games ago, we played West Ham United in the Premier League. So the only two official pre-season games we've played are Northampton away, yeah, had a bunch of trialists, won 1-0, and got spanked by Liverpool. Now, I think I'm right. We certainly played Port FC, who finished third in the Thai League. That was a rearranged game because we didn't play Spurs. And I think there's been one other unofficial.
We played Peterborough and Peterborough
behind closed doors, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. But I mean, that is not the pre-season we would have wanted. I mean, we're in Asia at the moment, or just coming back from Asia.
Yeah, they're back now. They're resting up. I don't know. I think they've... Look, we will know on Sunday. But do you know what I'm going to say? And I want this to be a bit of a theme, because we just need to understand this. Is teams that often come down from the from the Premier League, even those ones that bounce back up again, sometimes just take a little bit of almost decompression time. Now, if you look at the Championship, we know, and Daniel Farke, who's obviously now at Leeds United, he said in the summer, and I thought it was a good point, he's managed in the Bundesliga, he's managed in the Premier League, he's managed in the Championship. Premier League, he said, is the best league. The Championship is the most difficult, which I think tells its own story. Sheffield United last year came second, lost 11 games. Middlesbrough came fourth, lost 15 games. This isn't going to be easy. So even if we were, and by the way, Coventry 5-1 is an absolutely ridiculous price if you're a value punter. But even if we were to slip up at the beginning, don't panic. Don't panic. Just go with the philosophy. Go with the quality. Stay where we are. We know you can lose 11 games and still get up easily. Okay? Stick in there. We've got enough quality.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. On balance, I'm more positive than not on the manager, but I wonder whether we might start quite slowly. It looks like Cody will be missing for the first game.
Yeah, I think the pre-season hasn't been great. I think they haven't played enough games, and I'm not entirely convinced he really knows. I think it almost feels like he's still trying to give everyone a run out without necessarily knowing which is, well, he probably does know his best team. Sorry, I'm sure he does, but it feels that the Liverpool game should have been the team that's starting next week playing. Yeah, that would have been my, and maybe it was, but I kind of think it probably
wasn't it? Because Jan Vestergaard started.
So yeah, well, God, you hope so.
God serve it. I don't think he wanted to show anybody's hand of cards. I think it would have been easy to put your best 11 out and effectively you turn around to Mark Robbins at Coventry and go, by the way, this is the team you're going to face. And you don't want to be doing that. There's a reason why you submit your team sheet at 2 o'clock or 2 hours.
Yeah, very true.
And we're going to do that. But I tell you what I'm really interested in, Tim, and I don't want to necessarily hijack the host, but have you guys got any idea what the starting 11 is going to be on Sunday? Because no. I don't, but I think we need to speculate on it.
I've written mine down. Actually, I just did it while we were.
Wait, I tell you what, then let's come on to that in a bit because I do want to preview the match. Let's go. I just want to take us back in time a little bit though to, you know, a couple of the outs and a couple of ins that we've had before we come on to the match. So yeah, let me start you off, Norm. I hope Luis Suarez destroys Tottenham today. I don't like Spurs, especially that monkey everyone goes on about, brackets Gareth Bale. 10th of the 3rd, 2013, James Maddison on Twitter. Wonderful.
Yeah, he was only about 14, wasn't he?
He was, to be fair. Swiftly deleted, apparently, I think the day before he signed. So, Madders, go on, Norm, give us a view on Madders. So, the price... Well, how do you feel? How do you feel about the Madders was always going? How do you feel about that particular out?
That particular out, and if you don't mind, Tim, I want to kind of link it a little with another one because it makes me feel better. That particular out, I think he is the signing of the summer for Spurs.
Yeah.
So I am very disappointed with the price we got for him, but have come to realise from, you know, what I read and listening to so-called experts on the radio or on TV, that a lot of people don't really rate James Maddison quite as highly as I do or we do. And I find it incredible that Mason Mount's gone for 55, 60 million.
Yeah.
I find it incredible that Jordan Henderson, aged 97, has gone for 20 million to, I mean, this is just where the silly money is. So, yeah, I think he's, with a year left on his contract, he was exceedingly undervalued. But I think if you, and the reason I wanted to link it with actually Barnes, I think if you'd have said we'd have got 80 million for Barnes and Maddison, that wouldn't have been too far off. So yeah. I think I'm trying to look at it positively. We should probably have got 100 million, but I think that we got a great deal with Barnes. And I think Newcastle did as well. I think they've got a good player. Really good player. I think everyone's happy with that. I think Maddison, I'm disappointed and a bit annoyed and a bit sad for him because Kane's probably going to end up going to Bayern Munich and he's gone to a team that's not going to win anything. He might as well have just waited and gone somewhere else. So, yeah, a little disappointed.
I agree entirely with what you said. I still can't believe Madison's not a £60 million player if Mason Mount is. But yeah, I think your point on Barnes is quite right. That was good money, good for the player, good for Newcastle, good for us. Killer, there seemed to be a bit of, what's the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Soyuncu, who had a rough ride, terribly treated, we're all massive fans of, got a fantastic move. Yuri and Brendan Rodgers, not so much.
No, but it's interesting, Tim, because we were in the pub, weren't we, after one of the games, and when Yuri Tielemans looked like he was floundering a little bit, and we, actually, unbelievably, four of us all said independently, we thought the best club match, given his form, was Aston Villa. Voila! Almost unbelievable. I do think that's about his level, to be honest with you. I do think he lacks a bit of pace. I do think he lacks a bit of fitness. Be interesting to see how he gets on. We wish him well, and I do genuinely mean that. He's not going to be playing against us. He's a nice guy. He will still, obviously, we'll always hold him in our hearts for that. If nothing else, the FA Cup goal, but actually plenty more other than that. So, you know, we wish him well. For Brendan, it was just a bit of an odd one, wasn't it? It was almost... I talk a lot about manager stock value. I do think, unfortunately, for Brendan, his had gone down. I think for a lot of football clubs, strangely, I think there was a bittersweet feeling about the way that he engineered that huge wage rise at Leicester City. I don't think that actually did him any favours, did it? Going, you know, sort of playing us off against Arsenal and whatever. And he's back at Celtic. You'd imagine probably about a third of the wage that he's on, and in a position now where he'll never be able to leave there. I mean, he can't quit there twice. He was getting death threats anyway. I mean, what happens to him now? So I don't know. Brendan looks like he's parked himself in a job. He'll be there for the rest of his life, or until he gets sacked. And do I wish him well? Yeah. I don't hold any grudge against Brendan Rodgers, simply because he did his best, and I still maintain he provided us with some of the greatest moments in the club's history. As with a lot of managers, of course, it just fell away at the end, and maybe he did. Well, he did outstay his welcome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's a fair. It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, he's a better manager than the Celtic manager, but it just shows this sort of recency effect. So same with Yuri. And I suppose, you know, same with Harvey Barnes. I mean, Barnes has probably got the best move out of the whole lot of those, which you probably wouldn't have banked on 12 months ago. But there we go. Let's come on slightly more positively then to Inns. Actually, just before I do that, don't you think it's odd that we've not moved more players out?
Yes, but don't you just find generally moving players out at every club is absolutely horrifically just so hard? There used to be a time you just got shot at them, didn't you? You literally just turned around and you just whispered somebody's name and somebody come along and buy him. Mm. You know, so you talk about Leicester, but it's not just us, is it? I mean, it's like Man United have got like a shed load of players. They're desperate to get shot off. Yeah. Can't give them away in the sale. But yeah, I mean, the deals aren't done yet, but I do get the feeling there aren't that many more to go to.
My worry on that, Norm, is that I think, you know, I'm a big believer that the culture of an organisation overrides almost everything. And I'm banking on Maresca, you know, to be the key guy to change that. But, you know, you've got your Ndidi skulking around. You've got your Vestergaards skulking around. You know, these players that, you know, clearly switched off last season. There's quite a few of those about. And that's probably less than ideal for the club and the manager.
Yeah, and for the players as well, because I mean, I suspect one of the problems with moving people on is there needs to be a club that wants to buy them. I mean, Castagna, having played for a team like Leicester and has been successful with us, is okay. Juventus are allegedly a little bit interested, but in the Premier League, it's Fulham. You know, so he's probably not thinking, oh, great, Fulham sounds magic. Dennis Pratt, you know, there's clearly people just aren't interested in these players. So it's going to be a challenge to get rid of them. But I think we've got to rely on the Maresca to not allow these, like the dead wood, so to speak, to bring the team down. And hopefully he'll be able to get the best out of players like Ndidi, who at the moment, he doesn't deserve to play in the Premier League. He had a poor season last year, but you know, maybe this is just the little kickstart he might need to push on and get back to how he was. Because at one point, I think we all thought he was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, coming on to the ends, we'll come back to the manager in a minute. I think the signings, so Winks, Cody, Doyle and Matavidi tonight, not particularly Matavidi, because that is another massive gamble on a winger from Montpellier. Who knows? I mean, we haven't been very good at signing wingers. We did sign Knockhart and Mahrez, and other than that, we've not done a great job of that. But that one's a gamble. The other three, I think, Killer, are absolutely terrific signings. Absolutely brilliant signings, all three of them. I really hope Cody's injury isn't too serious. It sounds like he's pretty much going to miss the Kov game and possibly longer. But I thought he was a fantastic signing from a leadership point of view. Thanks. And I was really impressed with the interview with him. He sounded like he's really got a point to prove, which I thought was fantastic. And Callum Doyle is clearly, well, I mean, by all accounts, some Coventry accounts, given that they had that striker there last year. He was give or take their best player. So I think we've made some terrific signings, don't you?
Yeah, I'm pleased with those. Of course, you've missed out on Mads Hermansson, which is...
Sorry, I have, yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting one, but I just want to talk about that. Tim, I'll just go back to your point. Really good. Ironically, Connor Cody and Harry Winks, well, we actually talked about them, those players this time last season. I don't know if you remember us.
Yeah.
As two potential players that could come in and do a job, and maybe they could have done. The goalkeeping situation is odd. We paid a bit of money for Hermansson. I don't know what you guys thought. I looked at the three goalies we've got. Clearly Danny Ward's somebody we need to get shot off. Smith is very much a cover. I wondered whether or not we might get shot of Ward, get in a third goalkeeper, and then go with Danny Everson. But it just appears he's literally, Hermansson's coming straight in as number one, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Killer. I had my jury out all of last season on Everson. And I think as soon as we appointed Maresca, who's clearly going to play football the Man City way, I thought that was a death knell for Everson because his distribution is absolutely shocking. Yeah. And I just don't think however good a stop shotter he is, he's not that good with crosses. I don't think however good a shot stopper he is, and I think he's a very, very good one, I don't think that makes up for... I mean, Man United have just done the same thing, haven't they? They've got a footballing goalkeeper in. I think we've done exactly the same thing on a lower level, and I'm not massively surprised, Norm, on that.
I understand you not being surprised. I think I'm just thinking here. I mean, let's not forget what the primary job of a goalkeeper is, though, and that's to save goals. And you know, great that we can play out from the back potentially, and maybe that will cause us to score more goals than it will be to concede. But I don't think he... I know it's like only a friendly. I don't think he was particularly good yesterday. And, you know, I personally would actually still probably prefer Everson, given that the season before he was the player of the season for Preston in the Championship. And I think that kind of tells you a lot that Everson is Championship level. And, you know, we'll have to see about this with the Danish guy. But, you know, irrespective, look, in Rogers we used to trust, in Maresca we trust. You know, if he's got his philosophy, then fair enough. And who am I to diss that until I've seen it fail, which hopefully we won't.
Yeah, and of course the other exit, whilst we're talking about goalkeepers, was Mike Stowell this summer, who famously was unable to see that Everson was a better goalkeeper than Danny Ward. So I don't think that was any particular surprise to see him leave the club. No. And I think it's good that we've had a clear out of some of the coaching stuff. Couple of things on a non-footballing point caught my eye, Killer, over the summer. On the financial side, on the negative, I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but I'll chuck it at you, Killer, first. The club got fined. Still not quite been decided, but up to £880,000 for price fixing the price of the jerseys in, I think it was Sports Direct. So I don't know if you saw that one. And on the plus side, the Topps Wealth, which was reported as part of the King Power reports, has doubled over the past year. So I don't know, did you see both of those stories?
I didn't see the Sports Direct story, and to be honest, if I had done, I would have probably instantly removed it from my brain, because that is Jan Vestergaard's monthly salary, so I wouldn't have been too bothered about that. The interesting thing is about the ties, as somebody's pointed out to me, is it's not Topps Wealth, it's the family wealth. And there is this rumour that the family have turned around to Top and said, we're just about fed up with you blowing any money on Leicester City. Can you please stop? I don't know. Just conjecture. But look, it's nice that we've got somebody at the helm that's clearly now has survived COVID and bringing in some serious dollar.
Yeah. And I mean, Norm, just on the other story, I think the point of that was it's not so much the size of the fine, it's the behaviour of the club. And, and the club have accepted that charge, by the way, and accepted that they did do it. And let's be quite honest, what that is, it's fixing the price so that fans have to pay more for their replica shirts. That's exactly what it is. You know, and it did take me back, Norm, to the, you know, the David Brent-esque situation where, you know, the strategic review that the club the club held over the summer was conducted by the two people who oversaw the complete shambles, namely Susan Whelan and John Rudkin, which you actually could not make up.
No. Look, I'm a bit with Killer. I think the shirt thing's not massively interested in it, but you're right. It's like you've been naughty. It doesn't look good on the club, but I suppose, you know, I don't know exactly what happened, but if I suspect what it is that they're saying to Sports Direct, yeah, you can sell our jerseys or there's some kind of deal there, but you're not going to sell them for 40 quid when we're selling them for 60. Otherwise, we're not going to let you sell them. So they call it price fixing, but in some ways, I suppose you could be a little bit more gentle with it and say they're just trying to not be in competition with anyone else and just be able to sell their jerseys
and you don't have to buy them, do you? I know you talk about fans and stuff. You don't have to be an avid Leicester City fan and therefore go out and buy a jersey. I wouldn't spend £60 on a Leicester City replica shirt. I would, however, spend £60 on a very expensive night out in Covent Garden. It's buyer's choice, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say you'd buy the shorts, Killer, if they were white.
It is. Yeah, and something else with the kits. I mean, my kids love them. But at the end of last season, when the kits are going out of... I've got a full kit for 25 quid. Shirt, shorts, socks. I mean, socks retail about 16 quid in the shop. Picked them up for 2 quid. I mean, just because they're not now the correct kit. But
you know, they've got Admiral on them. Yeah. Walker's crisps on them.
Well, actually,
some of that Butter kit was horrible.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, I mean, some of the best kits are of course, our retro ones, which are, I believe, are available if anyone's interested in the club shop.
A bit like the away kit, by the way. That's the old another. They've done this kit once. I don't know if they've forgotten. Have you seen the new away kit with the blue sash?
Yeah,
done it a few times, mate.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the Foss thing. It's the Leicester Foss thing coming back, isn't it? But I don't know if you get a new guy in marketing, so let's do that kit, and everyone forgets we did it a few years ago.
Yeah, that's the only
thing. Right.
Shambles.
Yeah, let's come on and then and talk about starting 11s and that sort of. I mean, you know, for the Cov match then. Go on, Killer. You think you wanted to have a go at this, didn't you? Should we start with the defence?
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the formation, shall we?
Okay. Well, I think, put my teeth in, this is a combination of what I think he's going to go with, which, by the way, I'm absolutely clueless to, and kind of what I would go with. So he's going to go for Mads Hermansen in goal. I think we can agree on that, can't we?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's going to play a fluid back four. So I think it will be three centre-backs and one attacking wing-back. And due to the injury of Cody, I think he's going to go with Doyle, Faze, Harry Souter and Ricardo Pereira.
Yeah, just on the Pereira thing. So he's been talking about this idea, hasn't he, of this inverted fullback idea that Pep did last season, but not before last season. And that's the role Stones has done, hasn't it? And Klopp has tried it with Alexander-Arnold, I think, a little bit as well. I've got to be honest with you, I don't understand it. But for everything I understand, Killer, it appears that Pereira is going to play that role, which I think is brilliant. It's a supremely talented player. But, you know, if he's going to be the key guy, which I think that role is, how many games are you going to get out of him?
Well, I don't think he would necessarily be the only person that can play that role.
Mm.
James Go Justin. On.
Well, I think Justin could do it. I think Castagne could do it. And I think actually at a push, Christensen could do it.
Okay. And so, Norm, there's the three names that Killer's left out the back four. I think there's a centre-back missing somewhere. And I don't mean that Scandinavian tall bloke. Who else is missing?
Well, it's Cody. That's it. There's five
centre-backs. That's Cody, of course, yeah. Do you go along with that, Norm? So leaving out, assuming they're all fit, leaving out Justin, Castagne and Christensen. I mean, Christensen, I don't think... Has he had a pre-season?
By the way, I'm not saying leave them out. I'm just saying they're not in the back four.
It depends if he plays a back four. I mean, I wonder whether he... Yeah, so I think if he plays a back four, then I don't think I would hugely disagree to what's been said by Killer there, really. I mean, I think that kind of makes sense, although it does feel a little, I suppose, it's not really a back four, is it? It's almost like a back three, and it just feels like it could be a little lopsided. I mean, I wondered whether he'd probably play Justin and Pereira, to be honest, with, I did have Cody, but obviously Suter, Fasson, Doyle and Justin and Ricardo, back five or back three, but with the two wing backs, and then obviously sort of Winks in front of them, and that's when I started to think I'm not quite sure exactly what's going to go on.
Yeah, because Killer, what? I mean, I actually probably agree with you actually, but I'm slightly curious about this idea of only playing one fullback. Is it that Doyle will sort of be a fullback come centre back, depending on whether we're in possession or not?
Feels like if we're in possession, then the three guys contract and Pereira pushes on, and then out of possession, Pereira drops back, and then one of them moves over slightly to the left.
Okay,
is how I kind of see it.
Yeah. All right. What about the midfield then? So Norm mentioned Winks in front of them, but I believe Winks has been playing more creatively than that, hasn't he? In the preseason games. I'm with Norm. I saw Winks as a sort of defensive, you know, Ray Wilkins type midfielder, get the ball, pass it off type thing. It seems to me they might want a bit more out of him than that.
Well, it just may be that he's a better footballer than that, especially at this level. Difficult. I don't really know exactly how it's going to line up. I'm going to go four across the midfield. I do think Castagna's too good to leave out, and I think he'll play in that midfield wide left. I'm going to go Winks, KDH, and I think he'll also play Wanyama Marcel.
And not Ndidi.
But what about Mavididi, the new $6 million signing today? Who's
I think it would be too late for him to play.
Oh yeah, of course we're talking about
not commentary. Technically too.
Yeah. You're right.
I just don't think. I think he'll be on the bench.
I think he'll be on the bench.
That makes sense.
If you put who knows what sort of a Winks we've got. But if you put Winks, Ndidi and KDH in the midfield, there ain't a lot of creativity there. And that would, you know, we haven't been exactly free scoring, have we?
The thing is with KDH, I think KDH is better when you let him off the lead a little bit. I just wonder whether or not Enzo's just going to throw a bit of caution to the wind and go, look, we've got a Premier League back line there. Actually, they don't need to be massively overprotected. One can hold, but it doesn't need to be a holder. And let's just push on. Because what he will be aware of, as Norm said earlier, we've lost, and we've pretty much lost all of our firepower. So he's got to be looking at Winks and KDH and Castagna and go, but you're good enough to get goals at this level. You've got to go for it. We can't hold back. You've got to go for it.
Okay, and then what about up top then, Norm?
I think, assuming Iheanacho's here, I'd have Iheanacho and Vardy.
Do you go with that, Killer?
I don't think Vardy's going to be fit for Sunday, is he?
Is he not?
Daka played against Liverpool, in which case, Daka then.
Yeah.
I would go for Dennis Pratt playing as a 10. And Iheanacho up top.
And not Daka.
Not Daka. And he's not really given Daka a great deal of game time. And he's one of these, isn't he? I mean, there's going to be a big question. But you know, all I would say is, even when I'm looking down at this team, I'm thinking to myself, it looks odd. But the reason it looks odd is because when you look at the Leicester City squad, it's massively, massively imbalanced. You've got a load of defenders. Mm. You could pick two really good back fours if everybody's fit, and you wouldn't lose any sleep. Even Luke Thomas at this level, you'd think does a job. Callum Doyle, obviously James Justin, who's not in my 11, etc., etc. Then you go through the midfielders. We've got Winks, Albright, and Dewsbury Hall, Ndidi Pratt, Hamza Chowdhury, and Samari. Our best will in the world. Where on earth are the goals coming from there?
Yeah, I mean, we need to. I think we still need to ship some of these out if we can. I think you know, Dennis Pratt, Samari. I'm not sure we need them, to be honest.
Well, Samari's had virtually nothing to do with anything. But yeah, the problem is, and you hit the nail on the head, Tim, you just can't get shot of him. He's on 80 a week. You know, what are you going to do with this guy? I mean, somebody might come along and go, well, I'll tell you what, give you five. We ain't paying him 80. In fact, we ain't even paying him 40. We'll give you 25. Now the club's got a bankroll the rest to get shot of him. What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to send some shockwaves, you know, around the division, isn't it? If we start against Coventry without Justin Christensen, Cody Thomas, Albright, and Samari, I mean,
good subs bench, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hamza, as you say, I mean, Hamza had a great season last season in the Championship. I mean, when you say that, and then you start to say, blimey, you know, it's going to be incredibly difficult not to get promoted. But it does come back to, you know, to come back to the point about the inexperienced manager and how, you know, he's either going to be a superstar or otherwise. But yeah, I mean, there's an imbalance between defence and attack, seriously, isn't the killer?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I just mean about, we just have to understand that the transfer window still has 4 weeks to run. There's plenty of time for at least a couple of those to go out. There therefore is plenty of time for a couple of attacking midfielders to come in. I just think it's going to be a bit odd, Tim. I think the team on Sunday's going to be a bit odd. I think the performance in truth will be less than fluent. I hope we win. I hope we play great football. But the reality of it is we have to understand new manager, team in transition, a very imbalanced looking squad. It kind of just points like it could get bumpy before it gets smooth.
Yeah, I tend to think it would. Yeah,
I think that's absolutely right. I think that's a very fair point. But I think also that, I suppose, what the positive is, the squad depth. I mean, I suppose what we've often lacked in the Premier League, although unbelievably, our two most disappointing seasons, the last two, you'd almost have felt that we had a really, really, really top squad. I think for the Championship, our squad is, you know, when you're mentioning players like Chowdhury, you know, our squad is, you know, brilliant. You know, there are players that can come in and be just as good as the players that are going out. And I think that can only stand us in good stead, you know, moving forward, being able to have those options to switch things.
Yeah. Let's just cast our eye. In fact, just before we do that, if you could take two positions then, Killer, two positions, either the positions in the pitch that you think, if we're going to sign two more players, or the individual players, if you've got them in mind, where would they? I've got a fairly clear idea where they'd be for me. Where would they be for you?
Yeah, well, if you look at it, we haven't got any width, have we?
Well, with Matavidi, the new guy, is a winger.
Yeah, but that's it. And, you know, is he definitely signed? So I still look...
Just so the listeners know, he has signed. That's now on the club's website.
Okay, good. All right. So that's a good addition. I still think we are looking for an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
Well, one thing is to know, we don't need a goalkeeper, do we? We've got about 14 of them.
Partex the keeper. I agree with that, Norm. I still want us to get a striker. I would have loved us to get the guy that's gone back to Man U from Sunderland, because he had proven Championship striker, Diallo, and he had a fantastic season. But I think at the moment, as we speak, Man U are currently hanging on to him. But I just feel Vardy is, there's, you know, we're not going to get a full season out of Vardy. I mean, he's our best striker. And the other two, I just don't know. I'm not quite as positive as Killer is on Iheanacho. And I'm not very positive about Dakar. I mean, he's super fast. Even faster, I suppose, in relative terms in that league. But
yeah,
he just doesn't score many, does he?
No, he doesn't. I think it's a fair point. But I think Iheanacho will stay. And I think he will absolutely do a job for us in the Championship, and I think we'll get enough out of Vardy and Dakar as support in that. the biggest thing for me would be a new number 10, and I think that, you know, someone like Tom Kearney would be a nice addition, someone with a bit of experience. I know he's a bit older, but I think he'd do a great job in the championship. And I've forgotten his name, the guy at QPR.
They've sold just about every single player. So whoever he is, he probably isn't there anymore. Okay. But he's a central midfielder, is he?
Oh, he's a creative. I can't remember yet. I think he's like a number 10.
Right. Yeah. They've sold five players and signed no one in this window. So this suggests all is not too well at Loftus Road. Hopefully we'll have the same as last visit when we go down there. By the way, that was one of my great away days. Let's just, before we come on to the predictor, I'm going to ask you where you think we're going to finish in the division. I think we know what Norm's going to say. But before I do that, which are the teams that you worried about, Killer, this year?
Strangely, we talk about this in the pub on Saturday night. Who do we think is going to be... I'll cut straight to the chase. I think Leicester should be confident, and I think we should say that we're going to win it. The teams almost certainly who I think are going to be up there. I think Leeds will be up there. I think Middlesbrough are going to be up there. I think West Brom will be up there. I think Norwich and Southampton aren't going to be too far away either.
If you've got to pick one, who are you most worried about?
Middlesbrough. Who actually
had
us being second.
Yeah. Okay. So you think Leicester are going to win it?
Yeah.
Norm?
Yeah.
Same two questions.
Yeah. I think Leicester should win it, and I think they will win it, and particularly given everything that's been mentioned about the number of games that you can lose and still do exceptionally well. Because I don't think we'll cruise it, but I think we'll win it, and I quite fancy Southampton, to be honest, to have a pretty steady season. So I think out of everyone, it'll probably be them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you've probably covered some of the ground I said. I think Southampton's managerial appointment is very shrewd. And I would have been well happy with that for us. He's got a good reputation. Swansea were unbeaten in their last nine. He obviously knows the championship inside out. And that seemed to me a very, very sensible appointment. But I don't think they've got the squad that we've got. Not that worried about Leeds. I picked two others I don't think you've mentioned. I'm going to say Sunderland, dependent on whether they can retain that striker or get another one. And the other wild card for me, because I think there's two brilliant managers come up into this division, Schumacher at Plymouth, but I also think Kieran McKenna did a brilliant job at Ipswich. And I think Ipswich have got a few quid as well. So I probably throw those two. I'm going to be more pessimistic. I'm worried about the unknowns of the culture at the club and the manager. I'm going to say at the moment, we're going to finish fourth, which is just an unthinkable nightmare. But anyway, that's what I'm going to say. Just as it stands at the moment, Leicester City, clear favourites for the championship. I'm taking the summary of a number of different betting companies, but 6-5. Then you got Leeds after that, 15-8. Southampton, but then you know you're into 2-1 already for Southampton, and then 3-1 plus for Middlesbrough.
Well,
Norwich.
You're talking for promotion, not to win. This is
for promotion. Sorry.
I guess just out of interest, Tim, if I was to turn around to you and it's one of these spiritual worlds where I can make weird things happen in the future, if I was to say to you right here, right now, A, either play the season out, but obviously your club could end up coming anywhere, or B, I will guarantee you a playoff spot now, what would you do?
That is a very... Oh, he's got an early season dilemma.
Early dilemma. They're coming to you, Norm, although that's an absolute waste of... In fact, I'm not going to waste my breath.
I'm going to say I'll play the season out because I think the squad will be too good not to finish in the playoffs eventually. If things go disastrously, we'll sack the manager before Christmas. And, you know, we've seen in the championship, teams can be right down at the bottom at Christmas and make their way back up because it is a long season. So I'm going to take the gamble.
As of course I would have done too.
Right, talking of gambling, let's come on to the first predictor of the season. Coventry City at home. Killer. What's it going to be?
Leicester City 1, Coventry 0. Tight game. Nervous ending. Just about get over the line.
Norm?
2-0 Leicester.
Of course. I'm going to go 2-0 as well. I think we'll beat Cov. Why wouldn't we beat Cov? Norm, a final thought?
Bring on the championship.
I thought you were going to say bring on the champions.
And the champions.
Into the championship. Killer.
I'll go back to a point I made earlier. You can lose 11, 12, 13 games, still get promoted. If it starts bumpy, keep the faith, Foxes fans. It's a 46-game marathon.
That's it, folks. It's great to be back. We're all off to pretend that Coventry is a real local derby, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.